الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we late a bit late today to commence the reading of our book الأربعون by الإمام يحيى بن شرف النووي. Rahmatullah. We had intended to come from earlier, but something held us back from the preeminence of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our shortcomings. Today, inshallah, we read Al Hadith al-Thalith wal-Ishrun. We read the 24th Hadith today. And Al Imam al Nawawi titled that hadith, he called it Jawami'ul Khair. He called it Jawami'ul Khair. Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, he has titled this hadith Jawami'ul Khair. This is one of the ways of the people of hadith. A hadith would have a name based on its text sometimes. And a hadith will have a name based on the reporter who has reported the hadith. For example, a hadith will have a name based on its text, as we have it in the hadith of Jibreel. Here it is said, hadith of Jibreel. It is not as if there is a hadith other than the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab that was reported by Abdullah from his father, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, was reported by Abu Huraira and others who have reported that hadith. So that hadith is called Hadith of Jibreel, because the subject matter of that hadith was surrounding Jibreel alayhi salam. It started with him and it ended with him, because he said alayhi salatu wa salam at the end, at the beginning of the hadith, Umar radiallahu anhu said, بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اصطلع علينا رجل. And at the end of the hadith, he says, فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينه. So this hadith is usually referred to as Hadith of Jibreel. And this is based on the text and what the hadith contains. There are some other hadiths that are giving names based on the chain of narration, sometimes based on the companion who has reported the hadith. And it's going to be popular like that. Hadith Fulan ibn Fulan. Once they say it, they know the hadith. Sometimes it has to do with the matter. For example, I remember an incident between two brothers. The other was asking, is it permissible that someone who wants to make nafil performs his salah behind the one who wants to perform an obligatory salah? And so they started a discussion. So one of them said, there is evidence for it, and that is the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. On the issue of someone having performed an obligatory prayer, having to now lead those who will perform nafil in salah, once you say the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, it is known which hadith is that. It is known, the hadith is known. If you are talking about Azr, and you said hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the hadith is known. If you are talking about wudu, you say the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the hadith is known. So they give a hadith names based on so many things. Sometimes based on the matter they are talking about. Sometimes based on who has reported the hadith. Sometimes based on some other reporters in the chain of narration of the hadith. So it becomes popular by that. But this, because of the content of what this hadith contains of benefits, Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah has titled the hadith, he said it is what? Jawami'ul Khair, a compilation, a compendium of goodness, something that's containing goodness. All of it is good, and every good is in it, like an encyclopedia of goodness. So he called it Jawami'ul Khair, and a compendium of goodness. alayhi rahmatullah. And by the time we read the hadith, we'll see what it means, what it contains of goodness. The goodness that encompasses, that its value is beyond what the heavens, the gap between the heavens and the earth. The goodness, something simple, but it's bigger in terms of its reward than the space between the heavens and the earth. So we see it's a lot of khairat. We call it Jawamil Khair. And this hadith is the hadith of Abu Malik Al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأان أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع النفس فمعتقها أو موبقها رواه مسلم. This hadith in it explains عن أبي مالك الحارث بن عاصم الأشعري. This hadith is reported by the companion whose name is الحارث and his kunya is Abu Malik. And as we remember about every companion that is mentioned in this book, Al-Arba'un, Al-Imam al-Nawawi will tell us his kunya. So the kunya of this companion is Abu Malik. And Abi Malikin, Al-Harith ibn Asim, his name is Al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari. So the companion is Al-Harith ibn Asim from the Ash'ari tribe. So it's from the tribe of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So there are many of them like that who were from the Ash'ariyun amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, such that the Prophet used to say well about the Ash'ariyun. They are different from the Ash'a'ira. The Ash'a'ira are the deviant sects that are connected to the man called Al-Ash'ari. But these people are Ash'ari as a tribe, not as a sect. They are a tribe that was known in the days of Islam. Many of them left their place and came to Medina and stayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And something good is usually mentioned about the Ash'ariyun, and that is the fact that they help themselves so much. One of the hadith that was mentioned about their fadail is that when any of them has a problem, for example, not having food, the other one does not have food, but this and that have food. So all those who have food will combine their food, and they who had the food and those who did not have the food will share the food. Those who had food will share food with those who did not have food. And all those who had food will combine their food and they will all distribute it together. If I'm not forgetting, this hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi from the Fadail of Ash'ariyin. So there were a group of people who loved themselves so much and they cooperated amongst themselves regarding that which is good, helping one another and all that. Anyway, this is not an evidence for, you know, forming societies and organizations. Because people could say, yes, but the people of Ash'ariyun who lived in Medina, the Prophet spoke well of them. And what he said they were doing was that they were helping themselves. Yes, and a group of Muslims could help themselves. And for the fact that if you make sadaqah, you prefer those who are nearer to you and then those who are nearer to you, then definitely it would imply that the Ash'ari we will be closer to another Ash'ari than other than an Ash'ari. If an Ash'ari has to distribute a gift that he has, so they help themselves regarding that. The same thing applied. We had Ansar, we had Muhajirun, and yet it was not the basis for bifurcating the Muslim community. So, but this is different from what we have from the societies and organizations, where the societies themselves is the deen. The society is the deen itself now. The societies are, they form the pseudo authorities now amongst the Muslims. So the Ansar deen, they have their own power structure and authority. They have their own deen. If you go to a marriage ceremony, you see some things there, the Ansar deen, they say, no, this is how we, in Ansar deen, this is how we perform our own marriage. If you go to Nawairu deen, they say, we in Nawairu deen, that is their own deen that they have created for themselves on the basis of their societies and associations. So, and that was why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited any invitation to any kind of thing, even among these people who were known and mentioned in the Quran. In one of the battles they performed, one of the people said, oh Ansar, come. Oh Muhajirun, come. Prophet said, when I'm still alive, you are calling Ansar Muhajirun. When I'm still alive. So the Muslim, yarhamukallah, the Muslim does not make invitation to, you know, tribes or groups or factions. He sees himself as the brother of the rest of the Muslims. That is not to say if he has a brother that is closer to him, he should not give him preference. And because Allah said to us that وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَّا أَن تَفْعَلُوا إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا. He says كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَسْطُورًا. That is how Allah has preordained that in His Lawh al-Mahfuz, that أُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ. Those who are from the wombs are given more preference. But that is not regarding the matters that are concerning all the rest of the Muslims. If a matter is concerning all the rest of the Muslims, such as going to a battle, such as facing enemies, such as performing salah, such as paying zakat, and all of these, all the rest of the Muslims are concerned, and no one of them should be segregated along the lines of tribes, or faction, or societies. So, and there was still, Allah had prohibited the formation of factions and societies amongst the Muslims. He subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it from the acts of the mushrikun. He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرْحُونَ. So he says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Do not be like those idolaters. مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا. Those who divided their religion and formed factions and sects. وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. He says, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ. Each faction says, بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرْحُونَ. This is the best you can have. So Ansar al-Din will say, this is the best you can have. Nasfat is the best you can have. Qarib is the best you can have. Kullu Hizm. MSF too. The best you can have. In the sight of an ardent MSF Kulua, there is no Islam anywhere except in this MSF. And they will tell you, it is this MSF. Some people used to refer to the MSF as the Noah's Ark of today. This is from Jahiliyyah. To say the Noah's Ark of today is MSF. You know what that means? Anybody that does not embark upon it will be destroyed. Because the one who did not embark upon the ark of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam became destroyed. When you say MSS is not ark of today, this is mere factionalism. Kullu hizmin bima ladayhim. It is that powerful. If you are not in IBC camp, you are nowhere. It is still from that thing, from that Hizbiya. If you didn't come to MSS Usra, it is from that Hizbiya. You are labeled. So he didn't attend Usra. He did not come for Usra. So the MSS has banned Usra and Usra. If you ask them, why did the MSS, they say, has anti-MSS activities. Not anti-Islamic activities. That person is saying that one person has anti-MSS activities. He has shaved his beard though. He is dragging his babariga on the ground, and he's wearing Muadu Adenkyo. He's saying that somebody does anti-MSS activities. But his own activities are anti-Islam, and he has not bound himself. Because those societies themselves have become victims of what is referred to as al-wala wal-bara. Al-wala, you know, agreeing and cooperating upon ourselves. And al-bara, distancing ourselves and creating enmity with people, loving and hating. Now, the basis of it is because somebody is in MSS, somebody is in TMC, somebody is in and happens in part of the country, somebody is not no more a member of MSS. It is as if he has disbelieved. He has gone out of Islam. You see, you are no more part of MSS. Sorry, you. As if he has disbelieved. So that is not the kind of thing that was found amongst the people of, amongst the Ashtari youth. They helped themselves and they made things easy for themselves. In fact, what they did will be counted as from what Allah said in the Quran. تعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. So this companion, رضي الله عنه, is from amongst the reporters of narration. He has reported a hadith in different books of hadith. And he died in the 18th year after Hijrah. Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari, رضي الله عنه. He died in the 18th year of Hijrah from an epidemic called Ta'un Amwat. This Ta'un Amwat, over 25,000 Muslims died over a few days. Ta'un Amwat. Amwat is the name of a place in present-day Palestine. That was where the epidemic came. And that was during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Many companions also died. From amongst them was Abu Ubaid al-Jarrah, Amin al-Ummah. That was during the time that he died. He died in that epidemic. And from amongst those who died in that epidemic was this companion, Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu anhu. So he reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that is just being strict with the text we have read. He said, Qala Rasulullah, I said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu. What he said was that Allah's messenger said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, At-tuhur shatrul iman, walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan, wa subhanallahi, والحمد لله تملأني أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع النفس فمعتقها أو موبق. He reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, At-tuhur shatrul iman, purification is a half of iman. Purification is a half of iman is tahara. He said, walhamdulillah, and to say alhamdulillah, that all praise Lillah belong to Allah or is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tamla'u al-mizan. It fills the mizan, the measure. We have told us about what the mizan is while we read from Usul al-Aqidah, Usul al-Sunnah. That wal-mizan haqqun. That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will bring a mizan, a measure, wherein evil and good deeds will be placed on each side of the palm. We discussed that some lengthy time, some lengthy period. So he says, Walhamdulillah tamla'u al-mizan. The reward of saying Alhamdulillah tamla'u al-mizan, it fills the mizan. It fills, of course, the scale of good deeds for the Muslim. Wa subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'ani. To say subhanallah, that is, Allah is free from every inadequacy. Subhanallah. Allah is free from every inadequacy. So you say glory of Islam. Subhanallah is that Allah is free. Every attribute that depicts inadequacy, Allah is free from it. So if someone is wondering, does Allah see? And does Allah does not see? This one, the one who will argue it, is the one who has not known Akira Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah very well. Because Allah sees, he has eyes. Not to have eyes is from inadequacy. So Allah is Subhanallah. Allah is the one who is not described, is not inadequate in anything. So this is from the evidence that Allah sees and Allah has eyes. Because to have eyes and see are from the attributes of perfection. As far as seeing is concerned. Not to have eyes and not to see is from the attributes of imperfection. You say Subhanallah. Allah is free of every imperfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. So he does not slumber. Wa la nawm. Neither does Allah sleep. So every attribute that depicts inability, imperfection, Allah is free from it. Everything that you know is perfect, don't describe Allah with it. And from that also is to describe Allah with the attributes of human beings. Because the attributes of human beings are imperfect. From attributing imperfection with Allah is to say that the one who says Allah sees as human beings see, to make it be. To liken Allah's attributes to those of human beings is from attributing imperfection to Allah. Because the sight of man is imperfect. Man does not see everything. No one sees what is behind him. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who told us that he sees what is behind him, ulama say it is in salah. He has not said he sees what is behind him except in salah. He says, make your suful correct. Make it perfect. Because I see you from behind me. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But that is in salah. So, and what happens to him as a matter of a miracle? Like when he came back from Mi'raj and he was being asked about Masjid al-Aqsa. He was being told to describe what was happening. He said, Allah brought it to me and I was looking at it and I was describing it like this. It's a miracle. Else, human beings do not see what happens in towns and cities away from them. So the sight of man is inadequate. The sight of man is imperfect. But Allah sees everything. Allah sees all things. Because His is not imperfect. His is perfect. So but what you say that Allah sees and we see. If you say Allah sees and we see, have you not compared the attributes of Allah and that of human beings? We say no, there is no comparison in that. There is no tamthil or tashbih or any of these in that. Because what is being considered is the attribute of sight and not what sees. What we must not compare is what sees, not the attribute itself. So when you say Allah sees, we see, seeing is not comparing anything with any person. But what is being talked about is the person who sees. Let's give us an example. Ants see, don't they? We see. But do we see as ants see? Do ants see as we see? So if there is difference between seeing as far as human beings, creatures are concerned, then there is a greater difference between seeing as far as the creator and the creature is concerned. So to attribute the way of seeing of an ant to a human being is bringing imperfection to human beings. So the same way we must not attribute the way we see to the way Allah sees, is bringing imperfection to Allah's attribute. So Allah is Subhanallah, Allah is free from every imperfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Subhanallah wa Alhamdulillah, these two statements to say that Allah is free of every imperfection, wa Alhamdulillah, and that every thanks and praise belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are owned by Allah and they are rightful to Him. Lillah. The list is up. It would mean that it is rightfully for Allah. All praise. The one who, to whom it is rightful is Allah. Lillah, it could also mean lil milk. It belongs to Allah. Ownership. He owns them. So Allah owns every place. Every place belongs to Him. They are due to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we make this statement, subhanallah, understanding the implications and saying it with all our hearts, believing in it in our hearts, and uttering it with our tongues, it says, تَمْلَأُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَوْ تَمْلَأَنِ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. These two statements, they fill up what is in between the heavens and the earth. So is it Jawamul Khair or not? To say Subhanallah walhamdulillah. The reward that a person gets from it fills up the heavens. What is between the heaven and the earth? And only Allah knows what that distance is. But perhaps when someone looks up into the sky and he sees clouds, he will think that he has seen the heaven. He has not seen anything from the heavens. But if you take it and it flies, in less than 2 minutes after the airplane takes off, you are away from these clouds. Less than 2-3 minutes. Especially if it's an international flight, in less than 2 minutes, you are away, you've gone out of this cloud you are seeing. After 2-3 minutes maximum. So how can this be the heaven? It is not the heaven, this is just a cloud. An accumulation of gases. That's all. So, the heavens, only Allah knows how far it is from the earth. And the reward of the one who says, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, is filthy. It is Jawamul Khair. This statement. Jawamul Khair. Someone says, Alhamdulillah, Tamla'ul Mizan. He fills up the Mizan. He has a lot of good deeds. Yuskilu mawazinuhu. He says, Amma man sakulat mawazinuhu. For who was he? Aishatin Aramina. The one whose scale, whose good deeds. Ulama say when they say mawazin, it is al-mizan. But when you say mawazin, it is talking about what is weighed. But when you say mizan, yes, it is a singular of mawazin. But when you say mawazin, you are talking about the deeds. Because the deeds al-mawzun, they are many. But when you say al-mizan, you are talking about the scale itself. It says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ سَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. So the one whose good deeds are many and weighty on the scale. May Allah make us from these people on the day of Qiyamah. Mm-hmm. It says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ سَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِشَةٍ رَضِيَةٍ. He's going to live in a joyful existence. He's going to get pregnant. So from what will bring sickle, weight, heaviness to our scales on the day of Qiyamah is to say what? Alhamdulillah. Jawamul Khair. And Allah has blessed Muslims with these words to make Jannah an entrance into it easy for us. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدُ رَبَّهُ. The one who finds good on the day of Qiyamah, let him praise, give thanks to his Lord. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. The one who does not find other than that, فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Let him not blame anyone except who? Himself. Because he had all the opportunity, but he fluffed them. He fluffed them away. He wasted the opportunities. So he will be asked on the day of Qiyamah. أَلَمْنَا جَعَلَّهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. That you could reach, you can say, Alhamdulillah. تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ. That today your skills will be filled up. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجِدَيْنِ. And all that. He allowed the asking of all the favors he had done to him. So this is the chance and opportunity that we have. So when about everything you do, especially eating and drinking, they usually involve saying Alhamdulillah. You want to drink water, you say Bismillah. You finish drinking, you say Alhamdulillah. You want to drink milk, you say Bismillah. You finish drinking, you say Alhamdulillah. You want to drink juice, Mountain Dew, you say Bismillah. You finish drinking, you say Alhamdulillah. When you say this, Tamla'ul Mizan, you have rewards. But don't forget, you also have sins you are piling up. That's why saying Alhamdulillah once or twice, oh, I've already filled my scale. It does not suffice. Because you are also having sins piling up every day. Those of you who are teachers in the school, teaching girls and all that, how many times have you had to see what you do not desire, you hate to see? How many times have you seen what you hate to see? And those who are lecturers in the university and polytechnics here, how many times have you had to see what you hate to see? Every day. Every day. When you are in your office, they call a meeting there. If those ones, if you are the one in secondary school, they come, sir, we want to see you, and all that. If you are a medical doctor, how many times have you had to see what you hate to see? You hate to see, and you have had to see it, not from the people, so that you can say, oh, that is as a result of the darura of jawao. Not darura of healing somebody or bringing cure. From your nurses, your pharmacists, your cleaners. Such that sometimes some people start seeing what they dislike, they say Subhanallah. Subsequently, they don't say Subhanallah again. Saying Subhanallah could be from, you get the reward from when you see something regarding which you are surprised. That's Subhanallah. Something distasteful. So you get the reward from that. And then you would have said Subhanallah, perhaps if you had Alhamdulillah, فَأَمْلَأَنِ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So it would be from إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ سَيِّئَاتِ. But consequently, because of the frequency of what you see, you don't say Subhanallah again. Why somebody says Subhanallah near you, say, oh, you are saying Subhanallah, you never see anyone. So that's why, despite saying these words, we should not relax. We should say many more. Because of many more bags of loads of matters that we have to settle. So when you say Alhamdulillah, say more. Alhamdulillah. And let it be from all of your heart. So that it will not be as if you are hallucinating. You know hallucination? Somebody just talking, does not know what he's talking about. So don't say Azkar absent-mindedly. Say Azkar when your attention, giving attention to what you say. So when you look at things, say Alhamdulillah. When you think about Allah's favor, you say Alhamdulillah. There are so many things in us that we deserve, that we say Alhamdulillah, 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 and that we don't go on saying Alhamdulillah. From what is mentioned of the verse, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. That verse in Surah Al-Kahf is that there are some of the companions who will stay in the masjid and they will be saying Alhamdulillah just because Allah has guided them into Islam when others did not know what Islam is. So the Prophet will come into the masjid and ask them, what are you saying? We are thanking Allah. الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَا لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهُ. So they will be thanking Allah for the favor of Islam. So how much favors of Allah do we thank Allah for? The favor of sleeping and waking up, Ikhwan, is it not favor? That one sleeps and wakes up. Doctor, is it a favor? Wallah, it's a favor. You say, I want to urinate. Is it a favor or not? Hello, Mutuna. Urinating. I want to go to toilet. Is it a favor? I want to pray, Salah. Ikhwan, it's time for Asr. Is it a favor? And we are conscious like this. Wallah, it's a favor. If it is 8, people are older than you and they don't have that consciousness. If it is 12, people are more wealthy than you and they don't have that consciousness. I know somebody who has sent a brother on Hajj and Umrah every year. That brother, we don't used to ask him, are you going for Umrah? He's going. Don't ask him. This brother has gone for Umrah more than 11 times now, thereabouts.
And the person who gives him the money every year, he managed to go once. In one of the years, he gave a lot of money to the brother. He said, "Go, I will meet you there." He did not come. When the brother called, when are you arriving? He said, "I'm busy. I don't think I'll be able to come." So that we have to keep up prayer to do good deeds is requiring that we say Alhamdulillah to Allah, to thank Him for that mercy. So our Alhamdulillah can never finish. So he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ta'udhu ni'mat Allahi, it will not finish. And he himself, it is from what he says about himself that he wants us to realize. When he talked about the angels, you know what he started with? He says, Alhamdulillahi fatiris samawati wal ard, ja'ilil malaikati rusulan, uli ajnihatin masna wa thulatha wa ruba, yazidu fil khalqi ma yasha. Says, Alhamdulillah, all praise, I own them, I own every praise. If you want to praise, praise me, thank me, I own everything, all praise. They should come to me, my right. Why? Fatiris samawati wal ard. He originated heavens and earth when heaven and earth never existed anywhere. Ja'ilil malaikati rusula. He made the angels, messengers, uli adniha, who had wings, masna, two, wa thulatha, three, wa ruba, four. Yazidu fil khalqi ma yasha. I multiply creation as I will. As he wills, he multiplies creation. As he wills. And when he talked about bringing the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam to the heaven, he said, Subhanallahi, Subhanallahi, Asra bi'abidihi, layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa, alladhi barakna hawlahu, linuriyahu min ayatina. So, Ikhwan, these statements, they are benefits for us. And that's the essence of mentioning the titling of Al-Imam al-Nawawi of this hadith as Jawami'ul Khair, in encyclopedia, so to speak, a compendium of goodness. We have opportunity now, before it becomes a time when we can't say Subhanallah again. Because if time is still coming like that, we will not be able to say it again. We are either dead or unable to speak. When we were in the university of a person, she went on holidays and came back, that's all. She could not speak or talk again. Holiday. Very, very brilliant person. Very brilliant. She just went, everybody went on, salam alaikum, salam. She was talking like every other person. But she came back, she could not talk, she could not hear. Wallahi. If a brother here knows the person. So, it's either that or that we die and we can't say anything again. So let's take this opportunity to say a lot of these. And this will make us understand the importance of the Prophet Prophet's statement that La tazalu lisanuka rasba min zikrillah. La yazalu lisanuka rasba min zikrillah. Do not make your tongue become dry of remembrance of Allah. This one, you don't need any number. Say, Ustaz, please, how many times can we be saying Alhamdulillah? Say it any other time. Any number of times you like. If someone comes and says, that's Alhamdulillah in the hadith, you should be said 50 times in the morning, 50 times in the afternoon, 50 times in the night. It's an innovation. One of the ways of bringing innovation into the deen is to specify what the Sharia has left general. To specify and say, no, this is the amount of what the Sharia has left to be general. So it has got you in saying Alhamdulillah. If you can't remember all the time, at least each time you drink water, say Alhamdulillah now. Each time you eat food, say Alhamdulillah. At least. So, and he said to alayhi salatu wasalam that, Walhamdulillah, tamla'ul mizan. But if you have the opportunity, add Subhanallah also. He says, Tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. When he says, Aw tamla'u ulama, say this statement, how here, this shak is from one of the reporters of the hadith. And it does not affect the meaning of the hadith.
Like in Ada'an lil Amana, he mentioned that this is how it has been reported in the Old Testament.